We praise thee, O God, for the light of this day and for the light of Jesus Christ as it has shined into our hearts. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable before thee as we present ourselves to be led by thy Spirit as we worship together in community. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. One of the teachers who most immediately impressed me when I arrived on the campus of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in the fall of 1948 is leading our worship today. It was my privilege to have, as I look back on my seminary experience, a number of outstanding teachers, and Dr. Olin T. Binkley represents the epitome of these teachers. He introduced me, as he has, I'm sure, many of you, to seminal thinkers and faithful servants in the ministry of Jesus Christ. This place is particularly meaningful in that Dr. Binkley attended Wake Forest College when it was here. He taught in the religion department, was head of the Department of Religion of Wake Forest College, returned here after service in Louisville on the faculty, first as professor, dean, and then as president. Many of us know him, and he really requires no introduction, but many of us know him as a wise counselor, a faithful friend, a concerned and compassionate human being, and we are delighted that he is leading our worship, and we hear him gladly after the anthem.
A few days ago, I turned to page 64 of the Meditations of Marcus Aurelius to verify a quotation of his declaration. I seek the truth by which no man was ever injured. In the process of locating the quotation, I observed that he devoted the first 9 pages of the volume to a careful identification and grateful acknowledgement of the valuable insights he had learned from the persons whose words and deeds had influenced him profoundly, including his great-grandfather, his grandfather, his father, his mother, his brother, his teachers, and his friends. It would require more than 9 large pages for me to express the debt of gratitude I owe to the members of this community of faith and of learning. I appreciate the invitation to participate in worship here this morning, and I am grateful to Dean Albert Myberg for his most gracious introduction. I see visitors in the audience, including Dr. W.C. Fields, a distinguished member of the professional staff of the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I could wish devoutly that someone else carried the responsibility resting upon me at this moment. In the United States today, a significant number of thoughtful people are uneasy about the soundness of the economy and are deeply troubled by the moral crisis which has touched and hurt every major dimension of American life, including highly respected professions and institutions. Amid the agony of confusion and uncertainty, where does one look for moral guidance and encouragement? One of the places I look is a paragraph in the fourth chapter of Philippians, to which I draw attention in these moments of worship. Paul was a great Christian thinker. He was a very effective participant in the Christian missionary enterprise and was deeply devoted to the church at Philippi. Listen to his message. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. The first element of this Christian counsel is a clear perception of ethical standards of excellence. The accent in the sentence is on the verb. Translated, think about these things, or take these things into account. Paul urged the disciples of Jesus at Philippi, whom he loved and trusted, to use their minds honestly and persistently in the conduct of life. He counseled them to concentrate upon truth, justice, and love in the formation of decisions. He wanted them to test every proposal by moral criteria. Is it true? Is it worthy of reverence? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it worthy of love? Is it of good report? In this process of Christian thinking about issues, the distinction between right and wrong is not obscured or diluted. Paul was deeply convinced that dishonesty, injustice, hatred, and cruelty are morally wrong. He affirmed the powerful conviction that truth, justice, honor, purity, and love are principles of right action, and that guided by these critical standards of excellence, we can distinguish the things that differ and approve the things that are right. The validity of standards of excellence is crucial in Christian ethics and in the Christian life. And the denial of this validity is a major source of the moral crisis and the anguish it has produced in our time. In the October 27, 1975 issue of Time, Martin E. Marty, as many of you already know, has an article on vice and virtue, our moral condition, in which he writes, citizens today can rattle off long lists of immoralities and immoralists, but a mere listing does not do justice to the sense of disease and malaise that is in our hearts. The disappointment often felt between generations as moral standards are challenged or forgotten. The bewilderment and despair many feel over their loss. And in this week's Saturday Review, there is a special report on the ethics of the professions, including government, law, business, accounting, journalism, medicine, and education, with an introductory article by Max Lerner entitled, The Shame of the Profession. I don't know why they left out the Christian ministry. In this introductory article, Max Lerner says that attention, major attention, is to be called to ethical standards in each profession and pleads for the professions to recapture the sense of vocation or calling, which is directly related, he correctly points out, to wholeness, uprightness, and integrity. Here is a clear voice with the memory of vocation near the heart of our spiritual heritage, but very far from the heart of professional practices in the United States in our time. The second element of Paul's counsel is a call to creative and constructive Christian action. Listen again to his persuasive words. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Christian faith is to be expressed in Christian action. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. What had they seen in Paul? They had seen the life Christ imparts manifested in a transformed, dedicated, living man. They had heard him proclaim the gospel of the grace of God with clarity and power and sincerity. They had observed his pastoral care of individuals and families. They had seen his courage in the presence of peril and his willingness to suffer in the Redeemer's cause. They had seen him stand on the front line of Christian conscience in the community and make the love of God visible in the midst of human need. They had heard him say, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents." The third and final element in Paul's counsel regarding Christian living is a promise. "And the God of peace will be with you." What do you need today? What do I need today? We need moral guidance. Most of all, we need the peace of God. In this message, Paul confronts us with the loftiest and most critical standards of Christian faith and practice, and challenges us to undertake great things for Christ. Then he encourages us with one sustaining assurance: the peace of God, which passes human understanding, will guard your mind and heart. The God of all grace, who is able to do more than you and I think or ask, will give us inward strength to bear the outward strain, wisdom for sound decisions, and power for responsible action. On every difficult assignment, whether it be such a journey as the president of this school is on today, or the mastery of the tools of Christian scholarship in the classrooms on this campus, are in the diligent search for the lost, he, the God of all grace, will be with us. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days, that we fail not man nor thee. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with this school and with all of thy people.